one of the benefits of pastoring a church, and I mean that sincerely, is that I get to have interactions with a number of you during the week in a variety of means. And lately, I've been getting a lot of emails with people telling me things that God is showing them by way of revelation. And when I'm here on Wednesday and Friday nights, what I asked the elders to do last week when we met was to summarize what they've been hearing personally and what they've been hearing on the nights that they go, because I'm not there Thursday night, so we have some of our elders that are there Thursday night. And so anyway, I just want to share kind of, I think I have six things here, and I won't spend tons of time on them, but I just want to give a big picture of what the Lord's been doing. He called us, if you'll remember, to focus on heaven and to lay down things for a season. And Michael French, our apostolic overseer, believes that process was going to take a year. And so that means we're maybe a third of the way through it or so. I'm hoping Michael's wrong, but because I want to start doing things. And that's one of the things the Lord's saying is don't get in a hurry to do stuff. I've called you into this season to draw near to me. In fact, the Lord was so serious about it. I had an encounter. It's been a few months ago now. It was the middle of the night. I opened my eyes. I was awakened. I wasn't startled. I just opened my eyes. It was like 3 or 3:30 in the morning. And the Ancient of Days was standing there at the end of my bed on Pam's side. And I wasn't allowed to see his face or his hands. But the garment he was wearing was a shepherd's garment. I knew it was the Lord. And it was the most beautiful thing. I can't even really describe it, but it was gold and white and had a, it looked like glitter or something all interwoven in it. It was just an unbelievable robe. And I'm staring at him. I don't know how long this lasted, to be honest with you. It was less than 3 minutes. But I'm staring at him. And you know, you're in that state where you were asleep and then you're awake. And there was no transition in this encounter. I was like, I was asleep, then I was awake. And I'm looking at him, and I know he's there, and I'm thinking a few things other than, wow, amazing, the Ancient of Days is standing in our room. But one of the thoughts I had was, this must be important because he came himself. And so I was expecting some amazing, detailed message. And after a while, however that while was, I saw the sleeve of the robe point toward heaven. And then he slowly just faded away. And that was, I don't know how many times we've been told, and I've been told as a church for months last summer and fall, it was time to focus on heaven. And, you know, I called Scott Evelyn right after that, and that was to happen to be a couple or 3 days before he died. He had also had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus had told him to focus on heaven. It's time to focus on heaven. And so that's what we're doing, and it's really important that we do it. And so one of the things the Lord has showed the elders and you, because a lot of the revelation came from y'all that you got, is that he's aligning us as a church with his plans and purposes in a deeper way. He's laying a foundation that the weightiness of the glory of God can come on. And I could stop right there and we could just go to prayer about that. You know, I'm not going to because I'm not sensing him telling me to, but I feel the anointing on that. There's such a weight in his heart for this church to completely come into unity and gel and be prepared for what he wants to do. He's more excited about it than we are. I don't know how to describe that to you. The second thing that we have seen happening clearly through emails, communication, and various conversations is that the Lord's dealing with everybody in the church on something. I don't think he's leaving anybody out, as far as I can tell. And what I mean by that is that he's dealing with personal issues that are in between him and you, and in between you and people. And some of it's severe, or it feels severe, it feels really large, and he's removing, I think, these large things and bringing healing in this season so that we can flow and function with him unencumbered because there's a time coming where, you know, though we're being held back from being busy in the kingdom issues, other than the waiting on the Lord in prayer, which are actually really large kingdom issues, are foundational. Hearing is important, the prophetic being released is important. But while we're doing that process, there's going to be a day come when we're going to get busy. And so I really believe that we need to really enjoy this season that we're in. The third thing is that the Lord has been showing and really revealing to us that there's joy in this process. There is joy in the process. Even though some of the stuff we're having to face down and deal with is difficult, painful, memories are hard and harsh, you know, the encounters, experiences, we're traumatized by things. Those things are being dealt with in such a way where we can sense the joy of the Lord in them, and the joy of the Lord is going to be the strength that you gain coming out of those things. And so don't stop or run away from the things that he's dealing with, however large they are. I'm going to shift how I'm going to do this. I'm running today. I can tell already here. Number four, there's new authority coming to the church. Now, it's always been available, but we have to walk in it. And we have to learn to walk in it. And we have to do that by understanding God's word and standing on it. Particularly, that's why he's had us in Romans chapter 6 for a number of months. Because this is the one of the keys that the Lord is giving our church to overcome and to stand in the season that's coming. The shift has already started. Friday night, there was maybe a dozen of us, which was, I think, smaller than normal. And we didn't have music because my son Andrew was sick and Warren couldn't be here. He was gone. And they both are gone today. And anyway, Cameron graciously stepped in and just led us a cappella. But I don't think we got past the third or fourth song. And the presence of the Lord came. She couldn't sing. We couldn't sing. We just got to wait on the Lord together. It was precious. And she described it as it felt like God came and, you know, put little blankets on around us all. And that's what it felt like to me. We were just being held. And I felt like when we get good at this, we could just sit there for an hour and a half and nobody needed to say anything. We didn't need to pray for people's stuff. We'll do, if we get mature at this, we'll just sit there and we'll wait on him and he'll do stuff, you know. So we're probably going to break out of the pattern. You're going to, Wednesday, Thursday night, leaders, I just want to warn you, we're going to start breaking out of the pattern because the Lord's just going to start doing stuff. So, and you're free to do that, you know. We just, and sometimes that might be we're just passing out pillows and, you know, laying on the floor. I don't know. We've done that before. It's fun. The fifth thing that we talked about is the issue of faith. Faith pleases the Lord. Faith in its nature is a gift, but it's also been given freely to each of us as believers. And that we're going to see an expansion of that because there's an expanding understanding of God's kingdom coming to individuals and us corporately here in the church. And so I'm going to skip the first part of my sermon here. I might come back to it. But the last part of the application of my sermon actually applies to these points. I just realized that while I was standing up here. So the issue of faith growing is a big issue for us as a church. There has been over time more, we've become more and more focused on the word and less on what's God doing in each time we meet and allowing the prophetic to flow and function in our church meetings, and I think that's going to change. I think he wants it to change. Not that we're going to get away from the word, teaching of the word, but I believe there's some experiential things and things specifically that God wants to do by way of releasing his power back into the church, and that's going to require faith and a focus change for us as a body. When we first started, we used to worship for an hour and a half or hour and 45 minutes. Sometimes it was nuts. And God would show up and people would end up on the floor. And, you know, there was just a lot of renewal happening in the body of Christ as a whole back in the day. I remember when we were at the Association for Retarded Citizens building for a few Sundays, a couple of months, and over at the old Jason Lee School. It's now been replaced. But we had a guy here. He'd never had any kind of encounter with God before. One Sunday morning, he got knocked to the floor, and it was a cement floor in that auditorium. He was there the whole time, and we had to carry him to the car. And then 2.5 hours after we got him home, He lived down the road from me, so I went and visited him, and he was still on his living room floor, sort of dealing with him. And it was really good, and there was good fruit from it. I just suspect that we're going to start seeing the Spirit of God powerfully moving in that way again, and as he deals with the things that he wants to deal with in us, we're going to feel more aware, have more faith for, and actually earnestly desire those things. I've shared numerous times because I keep, I am stoking that fire, but God told me a few years ago, he's going to cause the church to hunger for his presence, hunger for his word, and hunger for his holiness. And I believe that started to happen. So I'm going to skip ahead in my sermon here because it goes, the application of the sermon goes with what I just said to you. We'll just see what happens here. I don't like doing this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. A few weeks ago, I reminded you that Adam and Eve had an assignment to subdue the earth. The garden was perfectly wonderful. Outside of it wasn't completely done yet. And so the issue of the kingdom was, in that sense, was given to them way back then. Jesus had to come and redeem mankind and redeem the earth back to man, the authority back to man. And he told us, he gave us the keys. And that's some of the stuff, you know, that we need to remember. That assignment that God gave man to subdue the earth didn't really change. And we still have that assignment, and we have greater authority than we understand to do that assignment as a church. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that because it has to do with the church aligning with for God's plans and purposes and the issue of faith necessary to get there, but also a clearer, cleaner vision of what the kingdom is really about. And so when Jesus redeemed us, he recovered what Adam and Eve had given away, and he declared, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, we are to go and make disciples." And we shouldn't be apologetic about that at all. That's our assignment as a church. In other words, he's saying to the church, "I got the keys back. Now go and use them and reclaim that which was lost." That is a lot of authority. In fact, I don't see limitations that we tend to walk in, and I'm going to uncover some of those lies here in a second that have been holding us back. So the bottom line is, what I want you to understand is that you and I were born to rule. When we see the news on TV, how do we react to it? Oh, shoot, some rogue judge with an agenda just stopped our president from protecting our nation by closing the borders down to some of the countries who have people who hate us. Now, how do you react to that? Do you go, "Well, I knew it was going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse, you know, before the Lord returns"? And or do you say in your heart, "That's not okay"? And do you go to prayer and go, "Lord, it's time for that stuff to stop and for that situation to change"? At no point in the history of our country was it okay for some judge somewhere to tell the president what he can and can't do. That's just not going to work out very well for him. Do you see what I'm saying? And so how do we apply that in the realm of the kingdom, in the realm of the Spirit? We take authority over it. That happened in this state the first time. Some dude in Hawaii did it the second time. So it's like, "Lord, we don't want that happening here." So we bind that nasty thing in Jesus' name, and we declare it null and void, and we ask, Lord, that that would be overturned and overturned quickly, and that the enemy would not be able to establish the spirit of lawlessness through our state here where we are assigned to rule and reign. That's how we need to think and believe and walk. And we can't drive over the hill and find the judge and punch him. That's not God's way. I had that thought, but no. It was just from the devil. It wasn't from me, you know, or it could have been. I don't know. No. You and I were born to rule. People who are born again and in Christ are restored and here to enforce the victory that Jesus won on the cross. It says in the scriptures, Romans 16:20, and 5 years from now we'll probably get there, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet." The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. See, we are walking in his authority, with his permission, with his giftings and anointings, and he's got our backs. We have to start thinking like that. That's the mentality we need to have. We were born to rule over creation and over darkness, to plunder hell and establish the kingdom wherever our feet touch the ground. And we can't do this when we're walking around feeling full, feeling like we're not overcomers, we're ashamed of ourselves, we're ashamed of our walks. That's why we're doing Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 says we don't have to sin anymore because the power of Satan and sin and death have been conquered in Christ, and you are in Christ. Therefore, you are now a new creature in Christ. You are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You have a new identity, a new place, and you are an overcomer. So sin's just a nuisance. You still have your mortal body, and in it, there's death and there's junk, but it doesn't control you. Satan doesn't control you. Even death itself doesn't control you. You know. So he's telling us very clearly as a church, you are overcomers because of what Christ has done for you, and you are walking in all of that anointing with a high calling, and we have to grab onto that in the season that we're in. So the keys of the kingdom go into the treasure house of resources and release kingdom power. Now, at some point, I need to do a sermon on prayer and probably open the door a little wider than I have in the past about this issue. And some of you are going to rejoice today because you've been praying that I'd get it. But we've been given the keys of the kingdom, period. And you start to think about that, that means the keys of the kingdom, period. And so however God gives you that revelation, and it needs to be him giving it to you, not you imagining it, but him giving it to you. When you get that, you are free to act on it. Once you understand it, you interpret it, and you get the application, and you get the timing, you move on things. And so I'm hoping we're going to catch that idea. We were given the keys to the kingdom to trample over the powers of hell. That's Luke 10:19, Matthew 16:19. So here's the deal. When we preach Romans chapter 6, and we start to believe what the Word of God is saying to us about our identity, we're going to get some vision and we're going to get some purpose. The reason we have not been given a laid out vision from the Lord yet as a church is because he's still dealing with our foundational issues. He's still dealing with our identity issues. Once he's done with that, we're going to start to see the fullness of the vision that he's got and the manifestation of the Spirit that he'd like to do here among us in this church. Because we'll have a new identity, we can think with a divine purpose, something that's been outside of the box of the containment that we'd had in the past, whether the containment became our small thinking or came from our small thinking or bad theology, bad teaching, bad experiences, whatever it is, you know, lack of faith, I don't know what it was. That's going to be gone because we're going to have this new identity and we're going to be able to think in a divine way, purposefully larger than we've done before. And what I think he's saying to us as a church by bothering to come into my room that night is we need a revelation of him. So when we get together on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday nights here and Sunday mornings, it's not so much we're coming just to worship and listen and minister to each other. We're trying to get a revelation of him, a deeper sense of who he is and how much he loves us and the plans he has to prosper us, not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. We need a revelation of him. When we allow ourselves to be defined as less than we are, we have a weakened identity. A while back, I was in some meeting somewhere, and this person, it was all Christians, and all, I think they were mostly leaders, and this person comes in, and she just starts talking about all these wonderful things God has been showing her and doing in her life. And I was looking around the room watching people's reactions to that. And later I heard somebody say, she's just always like that. She just, you know, she's just not normal. I'm like, I was thinking, no, that should be normal. What you and others are experiencing that don't appreciate that, I mean, you're getting robbed and you don't even know it. Right? I'd like to go, okay, you know, Lord, show me their identity. How do they see themselves in you? Because this would be interesting. You know, show the identity of this person. It was obvious. Jesus loves this person 100%, is 100% behind him, loves them, loves to talk to them, loves to answer their prayers, loves to go before them and take the kingdom in and through them. Why wouldn't you want to be like that? Somebody in the room got it. The rest of us were all sitting there like, and some were actually complaining about it. Wow. That doesn't happen here though, right? Okay, just checking. Oh my. A weakened identity affects our belief in the Bible. It affects our belief in God. It affects our faith level. Many of us are guilty of sweeping all the big stuff kind of under the rug. All the big stuff that the Bible talks about. I remember that conversation. We're walking out of the room. Dave and Karen are saying something about sweeping stuff under the rug in there. I'm like, I don't want to know. But anyway, so many of us are guilty of sweeping all the big stuff in the Bible under the rug by saying it already happened in the past at the formation of the church, and that was when it was supposed to happen, or it's only going to happen at the very end so that, you know, everybody just kind of makes it by the skin of their teeth. In reality, all of that stuff is available to us now. It just takes some faith and some courage and some action. If we've gotten anything out of Romans chapter 6, I hope it's that sin's defeated and it's a nuisance and we don't have to stay there and struggle anymore. This is obviously a stronghold in the body of Christ as a whole. It's here too. It's here too. The lie the enemy has sown and that we've believed is if it's good, it can't be for now. Anybody believe that like me? I have for a while. If it's good, it can't quite be for now. Because we believe the condition of the church is going to get worse and worse, just like the world is. Anybody know anybody that thinks like that besides me? What a trap, isn't it? Are you getting worse and worse? So Bill Johnson, I mentioned his book last week. He's got a book out now. It's pretty new. It's called God is Good. And I heard he went through hell writing this thing. Like all hell broke loose against him because that's the message the enemy does not want to get out. And it's one of the best books I've read in the last 10 years, just saying. So if you get it, it'd be good. I have a quote from him out of the book this morning. This is what Bill Johnson says. I love this. He says, "In a perverted sense, the weakness of the church confirms to many that they are on the right course. The worsening condition of the world and the church become a sign to them that all is well. This type of thinking requires no faith whatsoever." I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, this describes most of American Christendom right here. No vision because we lack identity. No idea that just because we haven't seen a lot of stuff doesn't mean it's not available and that more isn't going to be released. It takes faith, doesn't it? So a lot of the body of Christ is entrenched in unbelief and we don't even know it. If someone walked up to you and said, "You are entrenched in unbelief," what would you think? Would you think, "No, not me"? I got some friends that are like that. Yet, it begs the question, doesn't it? Well, what have you been believing God for? Do you believe he wants to give it to you? What's in your heart that you know God's put there that he wants you to pray about that you just don't have the oomph for? That's unbelief. I came from a theological tradition that said once a canon of scripture is completed, all the sign gifts ceased. That would include miracles, healings, and all that stuff. It was evidently needed back in the day, but we don't need it now. You know, and it made sense somehow. You know, we all went through theology classes going, oh, okay. You know, they've studied all this stuff. It seems like they should know. You know, but that's a doctrine of demons. It's a doctrine of demons. The church is supposed to have a dominating effect over illness. You know, sickness. We are to be deliverers of not only the gospel message, but people. Somehow the devil's convinced us that we can be small-minded, it's okay. We can be small in number, it's okay. And we can barely make it till Jesus returns, it's okay. We can get there by the skin of our teeth, that's okay. It's not okay. I don't think it's okay at all. On my worst day, I don't think it's okay. The Bible says Jesus plans to do above all we could ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Oh, wait a second. How big is that? Well, how big have you been thinking lately? You know, as we've spent a few months waiting on the Lord together, where have your thoughts wandered? What has God said about this church over the last 17 years? We turn 17 next Sunday. So we're going to have cakes and things, you know. It's good. Get a sugar buzz at church. This will be awesome. Now, what's God been saying about us for 17 years? Y'all know. Those of you who've been around here. So all this stuff should cause us to think about our destiny. It should challenge us to go, okay, Father, you're doing an amazing amount of work right now in the church. You're giving us healing. You're giving us identity makeover. You're giving us oil changes, you know, for greater anointing. We need to focus on his worth in this process and not our unworthiness. That is the trap I've seen here so many times. If we start to focus on his worth and not our unworthiness, we'll be able to walk in what he releases in our midst. And we'll know it came from him, it was for his glory, and we didn't make it happen. And we also need to focus on the fact that his ability is greater than our inability. We can't do much, but he can do all that and more. And not just everything that's needed or necessary, but way past that. When I think about you guys, you know, during my prayer times during the week, and I usually do in the mornings, sometimes I think we're like Gideon. You know, we have, you know, we love God, we've been diligent, and then we have this encounter coming, and, you know, the Lord's going to find us in one way, but he's going to see us differently. And that's how we need to start to see ourselves. What did he say about Gideon? He was the most fearful and reluctant leader that I can remember reading about in the Bible. I really like the guy because I can identify with him in many ways, especially when I first got called to pastor. That was the last thing I wanted to do. But this fearful and this reluctant leader had a different name as far as where God is concerned. God called him Valiant Warrior. That is hilarious. You read the story and you go, how did God get that? You know, he sees way beyond the now or the past. He knows how he's designed us, how he's going to equip us, and the exploits we're going to do. and he's not worried about any of it. Or how about unstable Peter? I've thought about Peter and who he was by way of personality and how messy he was. He's not somebody I'd probably go, like if they were lining people up in the Tri-Cities and the pastors were there and we got to pick people to come to our church, I probably wouldn't pick Peter first. He's a little unstable, kind of a wild man. And yet, what did God call him? Rock. Where do you think he's calling our church? I had an encounter a couple of years ago, and I was told that our church had paid the price to be a prophetic house. And I remember standing there in this encounter going, I'm not sure I want that. I go, really? And it wasn't like really, oh, cool. It was like, oh, do we have bomb shelters I can hide in here? Or how sturdy is the basement? Because it's going to get ugly. You know, that's how I was thinking about it, even the encounter in the dream. You know, because you remember what happened to Joseph. He has this high calling. His brothers sell him into slavery. He's doing really good, and he gets falsely accused and imprisoned. And God just deals with him, you know. And then it says in Psalms that the word of the Lord dealt with him. It tested him, you know. So here we are in this encounter, and it should have been a celebration. You know, I should have been, oh, thank you, Lord, you know. I was like, oh, you know. We have to get a whole different mindset. It's got to just, like, shift big time. And I think he's going to help us do that. And he's going to do it really well. So when we see who he is in this season we're in waiting on him and what he's done on our behalf to keep us going as a church, which is astounding if you stop and think about it. You know, I was going through 17 years of history this last week because we're coming up on our birthday next week. It's Easter. Everything is so cool. And I want, part of my flesh wants to go neener, neener to everybody who said we wouldn't make it because there was those, you know. Can I do that on Facebook? No, probably not. Okay, just checking. Isn't Facebook like the quickest way to get in a lot of trouble? Oh my goodness, I just got to, my family prays I stay off of it. Anyway, we have to understand what he has done on our behalf and find the place of humility and faith that allows us to believe what he said and do what he commands when he says what he wants us to do. Because I believe with my whole heart that the fullness of the kingdom of God is going to be expressed through you and I here. That is what I think he wants to do. Remember what Jesus said? That list of stuff that was pretty phenomenal, including raising the dead. I believe he has every intention for all of that list to happen here multiple times. And I gave him permission this week in my prayer, not that I needed it, but during one of my prayer times I said, can we have not just additions of that, but multiplications of that? Because we paid a really whopper of a price. And I'd like the devil to just be really sorry he ever mucked around with us. And I also asked him to let me, to identify them for me, the particular spirits who've done this, that, and allow me to consign them to a really hot spot in hell. And I also believe he's going to let me do that. I just do. Remember what the swine, the spirits in the swine were saying when Jesus was, it's not our time yet. That's the, I was asking for that level of authority because I think he wants to give it. Have I lost my mind? Some of you are looking at me like, what has Steve been drinking? I know that legalized that substance here in the state a while back. And I'm not using any of those things. I'm not even going to do the main part of the sermon. I think we're done. Maybe I can do it next week. I don't know. So what do we do when we hear something like this? I think we need to respond to the Lord and I'm just going to have you stand with me. I feel three things that we need to do as a church. First is to thank the Lord for calling us into this process because it's a privilege. The second thing I'm feeling is that we need to go ahead and ask Him to break strongholds that have been lies that have been holding us back from functioning in a more of a full expression of the kingdom. And the third thing I feel like we need to do is if any of us have made vows in our hearts, if we've quit at any level with God, you know, if we have stubbornly stayed in unbelief because we're offended at God or frustrated with God, we need to repent of that. And then I think there's going to be an impartation. Are you okay if we pray along those lines? And I want you to pray whatever God puts in your heart too, because He can handle more than one prayer at a time. You know, this is us as the Bridge Richland just having a conversation with our loving Father this morning, because we want to serve Him and max out. We don't want to barely get there by the skin of our teeth. And it's just not about us. We got all this hurting people all around us that need Him, need delivered, need healing. And this isn't okay. We just tell God it's not okay that we remain the way we are. We need the fullness of the kingdom functioning here. All right? Okay, so Father in heaven, thank you. We just want to start off and just say thank you, thank you, thank you for such a great salvation, such great promise, promises that you've intended to fulfill. And we want to get our stuff out of the way of that happening, because the problem's not in heaven, it's here. And so, Lord, we confess to you that in some of our cases, we've been angry at you, discouraged, disappointed. We've been wounded, and we need healing. And so, Lord, we're just confessing everything that we've said or done or decided in our hearts that's opposing the fullness of your kingdom manifesting and us having individually and corporately a proper identity in you and a proper understanding of our high calling. And so we confess those things as sin, and we confess also our great need to be healed from the traumas of the past, healed from life's and warfare's damage that's occurred over time. And we receive that healing now in Jesus' name as a church. Just begin to pull on heaven. It's good. That's how you use your faith. And just say, Lord, yes, we need to see trauma from the past broken off of people in our church and off the church as a whole. And we need a cleansing, and we're just receiving by faith a cleansing and washing of the blood of Jesus, of all the junk of the enemy, all the lies of the enemy, all the bad seed of the enemy, all the plans of the enemy, past, present, and future. And we just cancel it. It's null and void in Jesus' name. And we just receive, Lord, now the healing and deliverance of all the junk the enemy managed to do that we believed from the past. All the unbelief, everything that's tied to unbelief, we release back to the enemy. We send it to him, and he's not to use it again on another person. And we receive now an infilling of the Spirit that we might walk in a fullness of the kingdom day by day, moment by moment. That's our desire. Our desire, Lord, is to be a people that you can count on, that you can use. And we ask that you would cause us to fulfill everything you've desired and designed us for, individually and corporately as a church. So we just receive that faith, that gift of faith to take us to the next level and to begin to walk in a fuller expression of the kingdom, knowing that you are causing us to today understand a higher calling, a higher purpose, and we receive that identity you've given us in Christ. We believe it, we receive it, we accept it, and we choose to walk in it. Sin has no Sin's an inconvenience. It has no power over me, over you anymore. So we break shame off of the church this morning, individually and corporately. You are forgiven. He's taken your sin. He's thrown it as far as the east is from the west. And he's choosing to remember it no more. You need to do the same thing. It's a new day. This isn't a time to be fearful. If you are, you need to confess it. He'll forgive you. I'm feeling it. I'm hearing actually the words. What does this mean? What's going to happen to the church? I'm hearing it out there. What it means is that the fullness of the kingdom is going to come. His kingdom, that prayer you pray a bunch, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's going to happen. And all the stuff you see in the New Testament, it's going to happen. All the good stuff's going to happen. He's going to heal some marriages this year because you trusted him to do it. That's all he wanted you to do, is to give him a chance to, but you got to cooperate with him. Make the changes he's calling you to make. Some of you have been really burdened by the lack of salvation of family members. This is a year you're going to see these people embrace the truth. It's going to be so obvious to them what they need to do. Just claim it. Believe it. Believe it. You prayed and prayed and prayed. He's heard them. The first time you prayed it, he heard it. And he sent an answer. It's coming. There might be a little warfare around it, but the angel will break through. Would you give God permission to bring revelation to you in ways he's never done before? He's jealous to do it. Oh, that's not for me, that's for other people. No. That's why he's asking me to say this to you right now. If you have judged yourself as not worthy or not interested or not thinking you're good enough to receive revelation like others around you have, that's the issue that he wants to deal with today. Just repent of that and say, okay, I receive all that you want to give me. And I give everybody around me permission to hear from you too. I'm not going to be afraid of that anymore. That has hindered so much here. That's not cooperating with God. That's cooperating with the devil when we do that stuff. So I just say, Lord, we declare this morning the channels are wide open and every believer here in the room and as a church as a whole, would you talk to us? We're ready. We want to hear everything you have to say because everything you say is precious. And my prayer, Lord, for our church is that you would release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in our midst beyond what we've experienced and that we would walk in the spirit corporately and individually. And we do so with obedient hearts, and we do it with your perspective on what's going on here. And that we wouldn't settle for the normal things that we see going on in the earth around us because we don't have a normal calling. We have a supernatural calling. And we want to be that supernatural vehicle that you desire to use to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you used to pray for people at restaurants who were obviously crippled or whatever and you stop, start doing it again. just saying. Expect results. Because that's our portion. You're walking in what Jesus had. And he trusts you with it. He loves to give it to you. It says in the Bible, it gives the Father pleasure to release the kingdom to us. One more thing. Lord, I want you to know this is between you and him in this season for the next couple, 3 months. He's going to be working in your foundations, strengthening what remains, but also giving you the supports, the faith supports, the various things that you need to function in where he's going to take the church and where the kingdoms will begin to flow and manifest. And let him. And part of that is just cooperating with what the nudges that the Holy Spirit gives you for saying things to people or praying for people. It's if you just do that, you're going to get more. And you're going to see results as you do so. This is it starts with baby steps. You know, just deciding to do it again. If you stopped. So Chris, do you want to come up and take us through communion?